Consider nothingness with a smile. That's quite a concept, isn't it? Consider nothingness with a smile. This is Dr. Herbert O. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Consider nothingness with a smile. We think of the world as everything. We think that the world we live in is everything. The people that we are everything. What we know is everything. And what we don't know is nothing. And that's the term we use for it, too. What we know is everything, and what we don't know is nothing. Nothing we could consider with a smile, because we just don't know what it is. Okay, now. Actually, what is nothing? Well, all our philosophers and all our scientists tell us that everything comes out of the nothing. Out of the nothing comes physical form. Out of the nothing comes atoms. Out of the nothing comes man, creatures of every kind, planets, earths, galaxies. Out of the nothing comes everything that is. Now, you would think that that certainly would be a subject that would be very dear to the hearts of every student and every person who wanted to study anything, because out of this nothing, out of the nothingness comes everything. What is the nothing? What is the nothing? How do we think about nothing? Well, whenever we think that we think about nothing, we think that we are thinking about something that doesn't exist. We're thinking about an emptiness. We're thinking about a void. We're thinking about something without any purpose, direction, or guidance, without any activity within it. We think of something that just is without anything, you know. It's a nothing. What a word. My goodness. So, out of nothing, consider nothingness. But, like the scientists, like the philosophers, like the religionists, like the theologians, they're all thinking about nothingness, and they're thinking of it with a smile on their face. It's their daily fare. It's the thing that goes through their minds every day. Now, what makes the difference between a philosopher, a theologian, a scientist, some tremendously capable person thinking in tremendously unusual areas, what makes the difference between them and us? What makes the difference between them and us? The difference between them and us is that they give their thinking a name, and we don't. We don't think that our thoughts come out of the nothingness. We don't think that all substance comes out of the nothing. We really don't. And the reason we don't think that is because we have no idea what nothingness is, and so therefore we let it alone. Now, we think a person is magnetically drawn to us, or that we magnetically draw to us experiences and activities in our life. We think that something new is happening in our world because that something had not happened before. We think that the world is filled with activities, with new awarenesses of science and culture, new activities, new responses to ecology, new responses to the ecological flow of life. But yet, if we think really about the nothingness, about nothing, and we think that out of the nothing comes everything that is, then we must think that in the nothing exists everything that is. In the nothing exists everything that is yet unrevealed, that is yet unseen, unknown, unexperienced by everyone who thinks about it. Out of the nothingness comes all. Now, how do we magnetize that experience, those things out of the nothingness, when in number one we have no idea what they are and how they exist, and two, how do we make them useful to us? How do we think about them? How do we give them names? How do we give them purpose, direction, activity? How do we manifest them, reveal them? Because they already exist, but how do we bring them forth? That's a good question, isn't it? Now, we cannot magnetize something that already exists. We magnetize, so to speak, something that doesn't exist. And even the word magnet is something of an anomaly in itself, because magnet is, you're magnetizing something that doesn't exist. A magnet draws another magnet of the same end to itself. Or is it the opposite end? Does a magnet draw a plus, or does a magnet draw a minus? What does a magnet do with the plus? The plus and the plus, they repel each other. The minus and the minus, they do nothing. But the plus and the minus, they create a greater positive magnet. Now, if all things already exist, the magnetism that we're using must be something rather special, and it must be something that, so to speak, knows what it's doing. It draws unto itself that which is like itself. If a person is a positive person, as an illustration, that person draws positive experiences into its life. If that person is a negative person, that person draws negative experiences into their life. Now, out of the nothingness, we really cannot see it. We cannot say that I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to pick up these commodities. We cannot say that, because the store of nothingness is a store of invisibility. The store of nothingness is a store of emptiness, and yet it has the fullness of all in it. But the fullness that it dwells within the store of allness, the fullness that dwells within that store, is something that we have yet to reveal to ourselves through our thinking, through our attitude. Now, what is the only way you and I can enter into the state of nothingness? We enter into the state of nothingness, which we know nothing about, through our thinking. Now, if we think anything, then we are limiting whatever we are addressing ourselves to in the nothingness. But if we unlimit ourselves, if we say, I know that I know that I know, or the divine in me knows, or I am the all and I experience it now, when we say such statements like that, which are kind of difficult to make, but when we make statements like that, then we open the doorways to the infinite awareness, the infinite knowledge, the infinite cosmos within us. Now, consider nothingness with a smile, because it is a joyous experience. How would you consider the nothingness? Well, we know scientists such as Einstein, who was considering the theory of relativity, and he was considering the spatial concepts, and he was considering things that he had no idea about. He only knew mathematical formulas, and if these formulas were true, then other things had to be true. And so he let his imagination run wild. Actually, Einstein was a wild, wild thinker. His wildest thoughts were what he put his concentration on. And because he has degrees, because he was rather brilliant, even before he got the degrees, he was thinking of the theory of relativity. Even before he got the degrees, he wrote beautiful papers about concepts he had in his mind. And these concepts were very intellectual, very scientific, very mathematical aspects of physics itself, and therefore they confused most people, And a few people who didn't understand them or did understand just a little bit endorsed them and said, yes, this is the activity of a great mind. This is an activity of a great possibility in the universal allness. Now, who's going to endorse my belief? Who's going to endorse your belief? What do you believe? What do you believe out of the nothingness? Do you believe that you are created out of nothing? Because out of nothing you are created. And if you're created out of nothingness, then the essence of nothingness is what you and I are. And if the essence of nothingness is what you and I are, then whatever the nothingness is the essence of what we are. So if the essence of nothingness is the allness, is the unseen, is the unrevealed, yet it is the magical mysteries, the excitement of all living, then that's what we are. We are the excitement of all being. We are the magical essence of all existence. We are that which is. My goodness. If we are that, we are quite wonderful. We are quite wonderfully made. Now, let's just, for the fun of it, go a step further. What is nothingness? Nothingness is what dreams are built out of. Ho, 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 ho. That sounds a good one. Nothingness is what dreams are built out of. That's true. Dream your wildest dream. Out of your dream, you don't know, I don't know, we don't care. Every single being on the face of the earth as we know it, every creature, in fact, every stone, every mineral, every animal, vegetable, whatever it may be, everything. Everything has goals, has dreams, has its purpose. An animal grows to fulfill its body and to mate and to procreate and bring forth more wonderful animals of its own nature. And it has built-in intuitiveness in itself to allow it to keep on living. Its mind is not as broad as we understand it, as mankind's mind is, but only because mankind has a verbalization and a manner in which to show it, a manner in which to demonstrate what mankind is. Now, animals may have just as wonderful a capacity, and I believe they do, because they're out of the nothingness, which means they're the allness, but they chose to demonstrate themselves as an animal. You and I chose to demonstrate ourselves as a human. We chose to demonstrate ourselves at this moment on planet Earth. And we can be sure there are many other planets. There are many other Earths. There are many other existences. And you don't need to have a planet Earth for existence, because you can have a lifestyle which includes being with the ultimate of the new development of planetary space. You can be the finite of the finite, the microcosm of the macrocosm. You can be the tiniest atom and its sub portion of whatever it is. That's life, that's form, that's intelligence, that's out of the nothingness, that has in it the allness, the awareness. So now, how do we enjoy life? How do we enjoy going through life? We enjoy going through life by being ourselves and having fun. Now, we can never be anybody else because we are ourselves. Now, ourself is what aspect of the allness, what aspect of the nothingness are we revealing by our lifestyle? You look at a person and they say, oh, they're a musician, an artist, they're a writer, they're a parent, they're a business person, they're a farmer, they're whatever the billions and zillions of possibilities may be. Because the some 6 billion people on Earth, each one has possibilities of being its unique self. And that unique self is rather special. And when you consider that it all came out of the nothingness, how did it come out of the nothingness as a uniqueness? How did each animal, mineral, vegetable, how did each little tiny speck of dust, How did each individual atom and subatom, how did each little quark come out of the nothingness as a unique, special one, because it is where it is doing what it is doing in its uniqueness. Now you say, well, it's not so terribly unique. No, it's not so terribly unique, and it's not so terribly ununique. The very aspect of being unique at all makes it unique. Now, what role do you play in such a wonderful experience of life? Well, consider nothingness with a smile. And as you consider it, you consider, well, hey, I've just begun to be who I am, and I am not going to be in competition with anybody else. I'm not going to try to be a better grammarian or better technician, a better writer, a better thinker, a better person, a better body. I'm just going to be me. Now, what is the me that I'd like to be? Well, a phrase that I like to use is, I am divine spirit, mind, and body. I am absolute spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, what do I think of ideal? What do I think of absolute? What do I think of divine? Well, each one of those has with it a definition. And that definition causes me to live in the limitation of that definition. Now, when I say the word ideal, I can only be super expansive in that word, constantly going on and on and on with possibilities and probabilities and realities and experiences, and it never ends, and it is always in a very positive way. So when I say I am divine, I am reality, I am ideal, just take the word ideal. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am ideal spirit. What is the ideal spirit? It's the allness, the nothingness. I am ideal mind. What is mind? It is the ability to think, the ability to conceive, the ability to take the nothingness and out of it conceive of its allness. I am ideal body. What's an ideal body? Well, we don't know what an ideal body is, but we like to think that an ideal body is something very, very, very good. Okay, now, I am ideal body. Now, that's kind of nice, isn't it? Now think on these things, and as you think on these things, imagine what you're going to come up with. Imagine what you're going to consider, how you're going to consider the nothingness. And you're going to consider with a smile on your face, you're going to say, yeah, 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 yeah. Boggles the mind, doesn't it? Yes, it does. But who cares? Who cares? In boggling the mind, what happens? Well, in boggling the mind, it does just one thing. It allows us to think in a broad expanse of every area that we want to think. And if we take our ability to think and to write and to talk and to sing and to dance and to paint and to sculpt and to make music and to do all these things and add them all together, and we come up with that unique creative self that we are, maybe we have no talents at all that we know of. Maybe we have no talents that we're expressing at all. It's just being a human being. Well, that is a talent in itself. And that can be our takeoff point for being the masters of considering nothingness with a smile on our face and enjoying it thoroughly. Have a good day, and know I love you, I love you, I love you.